Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a company called CPRO that's currently raising funds on Crowdcube. The company specializes in developing and operating residential smart grids for new homes, combining solar and battery storage with EV charging. It is on Crowdcube. It's raising funds at the moment. We're going to be discussing the crowdfunding round in some detail, but also going to be drilling down into the commercial opportunity for the company. And to do that, we're very kindly joined today by Damon Rand, who is the founder and managing director of CPRO. Damon, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to be discussing your technologies, the decentralization of power generations for homes and how that's stored. Before we get into it, I'd like to ask some questions about yourself, Damon, your background and why you set up CPRO.
So my background, I'm a coder. So I was a coder in London for 10 years before starting CPRO. Worked for a lot of banks, large organizations, usually in the IT department, delivering solutions for in-house customers typically. But before that, came to coding from a background in maths, chemistry, and a master's degree in environmental science.
Thank you. So your background there, Damon, of course, very broad technology and, of course, in the environment. So where did you see the opportunity to set up and why did you go ahead and set up CPRO?
When we first set CPRO up, the company was called Clean Energy Prospector. Our core thesis was that the underlying value of clean technology was coming. At that time, it wasn't here, but it was coming. It was going. It was relatively obvious if you were very, very good with spreadsheets, if you were deep in the tech, if you were under the hood with the equipment. But it was pretty obvious as well that for lay people, property owners, having the time or capacity to sort of see that value was going to take a while to get there. So we saw an opportunity to sort of spot that gap, bridge that gap between understanding that we can secure, buy and secure low-cost clean tech, deploy it into sites, but in places where those property owners didn't have the capital or weren't willing to invest it in the asset. So bringing together finance with sites was what Clean Energy Prospector was set up to do. That was a mouthful, so we abbreviated that to CPRO. And that's how the company got started originally. As I alluded to there, when we set CPRO up, renewables, batteries, heat pumps, they were just too expensive to be viable except through grant programs. But we're already seeing that those cost declines drive through the continuing learning curves in the industry. We're going to drive down the cost of that equipment. And so the company was all about getting ahead of that and bringing finance to it.
Thank you. So solar, battery storage, it's been around some time, but what you're doing is very different. So I think before we go any further, it'd be good if you could explain to listeners what CPRO are doing, why you consider yourself as a pioneer, and what's different specifically about the work you're doing on the ground.
Yeah, if we think about these technologies individually in isolation, say rooftop solar or battery storage or heat pumps, they're all counted as renewables or clean technology. Each of them individually is a relatively large investment and reasonably long payback times. So there might be 5, 10, 15 year payback times on some of that equipment in certain cases. That's just if you treat each of them in isolation. When you bring all that kit together, all in one place, which you might want to do in the example of new build housing, you get one shot to get that equipment in when the construction teams are already on the on site, when it's lower cost, it's much lower cost to install all that equipment, when you have the construction crews there, when you've got the site managers. You want to get everything in at once, but that raises a complexity problem. So essentially the bit where CPRO is pioneering in the new build space is we're pioneering integrating all of that technology together with smart software. When you do that, when you stack renewables together on a site and have the equipment talk to each other, seamlessly and smoothly, that's when you get much greater returns, shorter payback periods on all that equipment. But in order to do that, a much higher level of expertise is required. And so we've been developing out that particularly the smart metering technology, the controls equipment, a lot of the policies and procedures around this smart grid integration. And so that's the bit that we've been pioneering over the last 8 years.
Thank you. So I see here from, you know, looking at your website and looking at your CrowdCube page that you say you're not only disrupting the energy sector, but you're also disrupting the housing sector. What does this mean?
Well, you can drive around the country today and you'll see a lot of new built housing out there. Very rarely do you see solar panels on the roofs. We are starting to now begin to see pumps in those homes by default. That's being driven by the planning regulations that have come out. And you normally will see electric vehicle charging on those properties now because it became mandated last year. So those sort of fundamental pieces in place for the housing sector to get on board with renewables, but to date it hasn't really, and the tools and platforms haven't really been in place. So disrupting, maybe bringing out of the dark ages might be another way to put it, the housing sector, sort of kicking and screaming into the 21st century. This tech is it works. The sort of solutions have sort of gone quite a long way ahead of the sector's deployment rate, the rate at which they're catching up. So yes, so that's what we're doing. We're disrupting or maybe driving forward, particularly the housing sector.
Just want to talk about the revenue generation model, what that looks like. Damon, who's your underlying customers at the moment and obviously plans for going forward? Is it homeowners, existing homeowners? Is it housing developers? Who are you dealing with and working with? And you know, how's the revenue generated for you as a company?
Sure. So we've got two primary customers and then a partner across this life cycle. Really, the house builders are our partners. They're not paying us directly. It's a net, we call it net zero homes for net zero cost for the house builder. They don't pay any more or any less than they would for regular homes. Who's paying us is we're deploying large amounts of capital into these infrastructure projects. And so infrastructure investors, project finance investors are looking for places to deploy their capital, and it's been, they've had solar farms and they've had wind farms to deploy into in the past. This is just solar farms across housing estates, essentially. So those are the parties that are essentially paying us as we are deploying their capital in and securing rights for running battery storage and smart grids across these estates. But that's the first customer. And then the second customer is the homeowner. So over the life of the project, they would normally be paying a standing charge to a utility. So CPRO collects that standing charge in order to provide the services and continue to operate the system. And our microgrids are essentially able to be run inside the standing charge that sits on any utility bill, although we are giving a discount to that standing charge to the customers. So they get a cheaper bill from us, a cheaper standing charge than with a regular utility.
Thank you. So net zero, CPRO are going to be playing a big part in this going forward. But there are, anybody watching the news recently will see, you know, people in certain quarters raising, you know, concerns about net zero, saying it's unrealistic and expensive. What would you say to them?
It's only expensive if you don't know what it costs. And if you actually look under the hood and look at the numbers, net zero is the cheapest way to deliver energy now. So if we were asking people to sacrifice, then that would be a different story. We're not asking that. We're talking about a better quality product at a lower cost, a more controllable product. So an electrification of our energy system, and in our particular case, electrification of new homes with solar and battery storage is simply cheaper and more efficient and more reliable than alternatives, but being burning stuff. So there is no reason to think that net zero is even the same expense as business as usual. It's going to be cheaper, it's going to be cleaner, and it's going to be better.
Thank you. So let's move on to the crowdfunding round. On, as I said at the beginning, on CrowdCube currently. So anyone checking out the notes of this podcast, you'll have see a link through to CPRO's page. But why are you raising funds at this point, Damon? And what are you going to be deploying the funds into?
So the hard part of what we've done has been over the last 5 years, we've got two fully operational demonstration smart grids up and running. So they were sort of blueprint stage back in 2020, went through construction over COVID, which was another story in itself, challenging times. They became fully operational at the end of 2023. And over the last 18 months, we've been bedding those systems in, operationalizing them, tuning the batteries, seeing how they run. And at the same time, we have been building up a pipeline of relationships with all of the major house builders. We have project proposals, smart grid proposals out for 11,000 homes in our proposals pipeline. And those are really all of the major house builders kicking the tires on doing this new approach, the smart grid approach versus business as usual. It is still early days. There are a couple of policy changes that are coming down the line that are going to really turbocharge things. So grid constraints, the ability of these new house builders to deploy homes, build homes, has been very challenging for them. But they can still choose to fall back on gas boilers if they can't get the electricity capacity for a new development. And that's what house builders are still doing. So the Future Home Standard is going to remove the ability to fit gas as a way of circumventing the fact there isn't enough grid capacity. What our microgrids do is they offer battery storage as an alternative, so a way forward, a solution to the problem of building new homes when there is when you can't fall back on gas. So that's policy change number one, the Future Home Standard. And then very excitingly and recently, government have just announced that all new homes will need solar in 2027, from 2027 onwards. So that's going to drive the requirement to put solar onto homes. So we think that we've got, we're at this intersection between having the proven smart grid approach deployed and operating, and that government policy just about to go live. And so this is the time to pour fuel on the fire, essentially.
That's interesting. Really interesting. As a question, your smart grid, CPRO's smart grids, David, do they provide enough power to support homes by themselves, or do you need to bring in external power as well to supplement what's being generated within the smart grid?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We don't aim to be 100% self-reliant because the grid is there. It's an extremely reliable system. So what we're doing is we're economically finding the best outcomes. And quite often, the most sensible thing to do is to buy power from the main grid. Our trading algorithm will choose to do that. And quite often, it will do things that might surprise you, like let solar flow back to the grid because it's a good time to allow that to happen. So we don't aim to build these homes to be entirely self-resilient, self-reliant and able to run off-grid. We aim for them to be the lowest cost of energy for the customer. That's the primary goal.
Yeah, so, David, when we're looking at the overall UK renewables space and we look at CPRO and the introduction of your technology into this market, what do you see as the major advantages for the market if they're to adopt CPRO, and what do you see as the challenges for introducing CPRO into the market?
If we primarily think about smart grids, and CPRO isn't the only company developing smart grids in this space, but if we start with why smart grids, I touched on it earlier, actually, we're removing that underpinning capability of delivering heat in winter, which is gas boilers, and we need to stop burning things. Once you do that, it does greatly increase the demand of new homes on the electricity grids. And so unless you're able to put battery storage into those grids to avoid very high peak times,
we would have to spend considerable amounts of money as a country upgrading the grids for a handful of hours a year when it was really needed. So there is a requirement to bring forward solutions that allow us to get off the gas networks, basically. And that's what smart grids bring. CPRO specifically, we are focused on allowing community ownership of these solutions, so having really flexible financing options for customers so they can have it fully funded by us. Some housing associations may have the capital and they may want to buy and own these smart grids themselves. Those are some of the advantages. We have a sort of sliding scale between we can provide a zero bills offer if the customer wants to pay for the equipment themselves. The residents could have free energy in a microgrid, or at the other end of the spectrum, we talked about a net zero cost to the developer upfront approach. That is a 15 to 30% discount to the customer in that scenario over time, where we bring funding in to deploy the equipment.
Thank you. So I know this is going to be a question that investors will have. CPRO, of course, you're going to be raising funds now, and you've got a very clear plan for your scalability and scaling of the business going forward. But, you know, fast forwarding a few years and looking at a potential exit, Damon, what are your plans? What do you foresee happening here?
Sure. Well, we are obviously pioneers, as we've spoken about before. We're well ahead of the market on this. We're skating to the hockey puck here, where the market's going to be once gas boilers abandoned in the new build sector. And what we'll find at that, and we are already seeing this at the moment, we're talking to the major utilities that currently operate the electricity and gas networks in the UK. And those utilities, there's about 20 of them, they're called independent distribution network operators. They're looking around because they know they're losing the gas businesses, and they're looking for alternatives to the gas businesses. So that's the biggest exit opportunity is probably going to be in that space. But there are also some of the bigger supply businesses as well, looking to compete with Octopus, for example. Octopus is obviously the dominant competitor in the energy sector in the UK. So we see CPRO potentially in exit terms as a way for some of the suppliers that maybe have been caught a bit short-footed by the energy transition to catch up and get ahead of some of the other competitors in the space who have been maybe more, have looked ahead and seen where the energy transition is going.
Thank you. So just to wrap things up now, Damon, and obviously looking forward from this point, there's going to be investors that are listening to this that may be considering your crowdfunding round. What would you say are the three things that excite you the most about the year ahead for CPRO?
Sure. Well, we have a handful of very large scale new towns that are engaging with us,
where they're putting in schools, housing, other infrastructure, leisure centres, etc., and they can't get the grid capacity. And so engaging with a handful of these very large strategic projects, you're not going to win them all, but we well placed to win several of those kinds of developments. So that's a big focus over the next 12 months. And then the other thing, we are starting to branch out into other places to put battery storage. There were certain areas where it hadn't been viable in the past, but we've seen a 60% drop in the cost of battery storage since we bought the batteries for the two demonstration projects that we've got running now. And so we're looking at that changes the places that we can now put batteries. So there are other areas such as the industrial commercial sector, business parks, bus depots, data centres, that sort of thing, which opens up other avenues for business.
Fantastic. Great. So just as a note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there we link through to CPRO's crowdfunding page. You have to find some more information as well as how to get involved in the round if you wish to. So Damon, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player.
The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.